You're listening to The Review on CBC Radio 1 and Sirius Satellite 137. I'm Gian Gomeshi.
I'm Derek Stoffel. The crisis in Lebanon is the first major foreign policy conundrum the conservative government has had to face. And while Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert says there will be no ceasefire, and Syria reportedly readies its armies to join the fray, Stephen Harper's government holds fast to its support of Israel's actions against Hezbollah. The Prime Minister has said Israel's response under the circumstances is measured. And just yesterday, Foreign Affairs Minister Peter MacKay had this to say in Halifax.
This began with Hezbollah kidnapping Israeli soldiers and killing Israeli soldiers and citizens, as you know, over an extended period of time. Israel has responded with force. They've responded in defense of their sovereign state.
Later today, opposition MPs will get their first chance to question the government on its Mideast policies. Peter MacKay will appear before the Foreign Affairs Committee. But since the conflict began, the opposition parties have been openly critical of the government's handling of the situation. Here are NDP Foreign Affairs critic Alexa McDonough and Liberal Consular Affairs critic Dan McTague on what they plan to ask Mr. MacKay.
Well, I intend to press Peter MacKay even harder on his deafening silence and that of his leader, the Prime Minister. Virtually the entire global community has recognized that a ceasefire has to happen if the escalation of violence is not going to spin utterly out of control.
Well, I think right from the start, the Prime Minister rushed very quickly in to take sides in an area of international policy that has been a cauldron of problems for generations, and Canada has excluded itself from being objective and even-handed. How does it now intend to become part of a process toward the ceasefire and reconstruction?
That was NDP Foreign Affairs critic Alexa McDonough, followed by Liberal Consular Affairs critic Dan McTague. I'm joined now by two guests to talk about whether the Harper government has carved out the right policy for Canada on this conflict. Michael Byers is a Canada research chair at the University of British Columbia. He's also the academic director with the Lew Institute for Global Issues. He's in our London studio this morning. And Oral Brown is a professor of international relations and political science at the University of Toronto. He's in our Toronto studio. Gentlemen, good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Michael Byers, I'd like to start with you. What do you think of how Stephen Harper has handled the conflict between Israel and Lebanon?
Well, I think that he rushed to judgment far too early and set out a very strong position in support of Israel without having had the time to consult fully with the professionals in the Department of Foreign Affairs, for instance. By pronouncing that Israel's reactions were measured, he essentially threw away generations of Canadian foreign policy on the Middle East and rendered Canada a bit player in any attempt to mediate a solution to this conflict.
Professor Byers, how does that compare with, you know, what Canada has done in the past? You know, let's look what happened 50 years ago.
Well, exactly, and it's 50 years ago to the year that Lester Pearson, as foreign affairs minister of this country, brokered a solution to the Suez crisis, which involved the pioneering of the concept of UN peacekeeping, and he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize the following year. He took Canada's position as a middle power, as an objective country, as a country that was not entangled in the conflict, and used it to maximum effect as a fair and honest broker, bringing peace to that troubled part of the world. And I would like to see the Canadian government aspire to a similar sort of role today. And unfortunately, with his very quick and not very thoughtful move to pronounce Israel's actions measured, Stephen Harper has denied that possibility to our very able diplomats.
Oral Brown, what do you think? Did Prime Minister Stephen Harper rush to judgment?
Well, I'm a little bit bewildered by Mr. Byers's analysis because it is so ahistorical. And I think we have to look at what the circumstances were. The circumstances in this case were of a terrorist group that is holding hostage a part of another country that is controlled by a terror-supporting state, Iran, dedicated to the destruction of the state of Israel, very, very openly. This was an important moral choice. This is where Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, said, we have to distinguish between cause and effect. We have to say who started this, what the responsibility is. The Prime Minister of Australia also came down very strongly. Being even-handed does not mean that you're morally blind. Canada's history in the Second World War, in the Korean War, in Kosovo, and even when we mentioned Lester Pearson. Lester Pearson was very heavily critical of the actions of Britain and of France, and he was terribly criticized because Britain was viewed very much as a mother country. This did not prevent Canada from being an honest broker. It does not mean if you want to be an honest broker that you just look and say there's a fire, but you do not distinguish between the arsonist and the fireman. And in this case, Israel was attacked. Israel was under threat. Israel is fighting for its survival because it is not just Hezbollah. It is the backers of Hezbollah, the people who make the real decisions in Tehran and Damascus. And for Canada not to have stood by a fellow democracy would not have been a principled approach. And in that sense, I think Mr. Harper, by taking a principled approach, was very much within the traditions of Canadian diplomacy and within the traditions that a democracy wants to keep, that is, of acting in a fashion in which it reinforces the fact that those who commit aggression cannot be excused, and that countries have a right to defend themselves, as Israel is doing. And that when you defend yourself, sadly, there will be casualties. But as Kofi Annan said, in the case of Hezbollah, they are holding the entire country, Lebanon, hostage. We mustn't remember that. We must remember also what Jan Egeland said, because he's quoted criticizing Israel often. But he also said that what Hezbollah is doing, it is acting in a cowardly fashion using civilians. So when Hezbollah uses civilians as a shield, then I think the blame should go to Hezbollah and Hezbollah's handlers in Tehran and in Damascus.
I'd like to talk a little bit about public opinion. The latest polls seem to be showing that Canadians are not backing the Prime Minister's stance of supporting Israel. In fact, there's a poll in today's Globe and Mail that says 77% of respondents want Canada to maintain a neutral stance on the Mideast conflict. Professor Byers, what do you make of those numbers?
Well, I happen to have a great deal of respect for the Canadian people and their ability to understand international affairs and to parse the kind of spin that we've been hearing from some supporters of the Israeli government. Let me be absolutely clear. I'm a friend of Israel. I have taught at the University of Tel Aviv. But like so many Canadians, I thought that Israel's attacks on civilian infrastructure, its attacks on the international airport at Beirut, its attacks on electrical power plants, on gasoline stations, its attacks on roads so that refugees could not actually flee the south of Lebanon, that those were disproportionate. It's a different issue when we talk about Hezbollah rocket emplacements or Hezbollah fighters. Yes, Israel has a right to defend itself, but when the Israeli Army Chief of Staff in the first few days of the conflict pronounces that he is going to turn the clock back in Lebanon 20 years, he's not talking about Hezbollah. He's talking about punishing the Lebanese people and the Lebanese government. And there's a terrible irony here because the Lebanese government is anti-Syria. The Lebanese government is democratically elected, and many of those Lebanese who are being targeted have strong connections with Canada. Israel was under threat, but it was not in terms of its existence under threat. Roughly 18 Israeli civilians have died the last 3 weeks. That's just twice the number of Canadians who have died. The eight Canadians who were visiting from Montreal and the one unarmed UN observer. Israel has been attacked, Israel has been threatened, but this response has been just disproportionate, and Stephen Harper should have said so.
Professor Brown, I'd like to get your opinion on the fact that 77% of Canadians in this poll today say they want neutrality.
I think we have to look at how polling is done and exactly what the numbers mean and what the intentions are, and I don't think you can get that clear a picture. And when you stand on principle, it's not just a matter of taking daily polls and say, well, a poll last week showed that the majority of Canadians supported Israel. Now a poll shows something different.
But so I think you have consistent. To look. It seems consistent with, you know, the way foreign policy has worked in Canada in the last long while, isn't it?
I'm not convinced of that at all. And I think this kind of representation, misrepresentation of what the Israeli chief of staff said, of what Israel is doing, is the kind of inflammatory picture that is so at variance with reality. What would proportionality mean in this case? That how many Israelis would need to die before Israel is entitled to defend itself? Is Israel a state that does not have the rights of other countries that when it's attacked, it's allowed to respond?
I'm sorry, I never said that Israel did not have a right to defend itself. I said it had a right to defend itself in proportionate
ways. Why don't you let me finish?
Because you have been saying things that are absolute variance with reality. So if you would have the civility to allow me to finish, I would really appreciate that. Now, when you say they bombed roads, they bombed other things, what do you think happens in a war? What do you think we did in Kosovo when we intervened on behalf of the Kosovar Albanians? We, as NATO, we bombed roads. We bombed the Chinese embassy and we killed civilians. We bombed a bridge, NATO, where a bus was hit because we tried to stop the war. And when you have Hezbollah that blends into the population, that uses those roads, that uses the resources to bring supplies in from Syria, Israel is just supposed to stand back and say, well, we must get as many killed as Hezbollah are killed. I don't think this is realistic. When you say you're a friend of Israel, that is pretty meaningless when you do not allow Israel to defend itself.
Professor Byers, I'd like to throw this back to you by asking, given the fact that Canada has taken a side in this conflict, how can we still be involved in negotiating an end to it?
It's almost impossible for Canada to play a positive and constructive role at this point. We are seen as so tightly bound to the policies of the Bush administration on the Middle East now that we would not be taken seriously in Arab capitals, and we certainly would not be taken seriously in Lebanon. The Lebanese government has called consistently for an immediate ceasefire. Canada has very strong ties with Lebanon. Canada, up until 3 weeks ago, could have sent its foreign affairs minister to Tehran, could have sent its minister to Damascus. We can't do that anymore. Essentially, we have excluded ourselves from the halls of international diplomacy and are going to move forward in the shadow of the United States.
Professor
Brown. And let me just make one final point here. Regardless of whether you think what Israel has done is right or wrong, by excluding the potential for diplomacy by a middle power that is a member of the G8 and has strong communities on both sides of this that live in harmony in this country, by doing that, you're doing a disfavor to humanity and to the possibility of peace, regardless of whether you think Israel is right or wrong or Hezbollah is right or wrong.
Who is right or wrong does matter. There is a very important issue in this case. And this kind of idea that otherwise, but for Canada saying that one side is right and one side is wrong, taking a moral stand, we would be able to influence the development, it's simply unrealistic. We cannot just go to Tehran. We have not even been able to have any effect on an investigation when a journalist was murdered, a Canadian, in Tehran. So let's not delude ourselves that here was Canada ready to bring peace and tranquility to the Middle East, but for this kind of action. This is sort of the Chatham House version of events. In 1956, Canada took a strong moral stand. Mr. Byers brought up Lester Pearson. We condemned British and French actions. It did not prevent us from being honest brokers, from engaging preventive diplomacy. I think a principled stand is the best way for Canada to act effectively internationally. And I think Mr. Harbour should be commended for taking this principled stand.
Gentlemen, I appreciate you both coming in to talk to us about this. Thank you.
You've been most welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael Byers.